Okay, tonight we'll be studying the first two chapters in the book of Ruth. I know the first syllabus we sent out had them backwards, but that's all right. We sent out a corrected one, so I don't know why it was done that way in the main one that we had, but somehow a mistake was made, but we got it straightened out. All right, we're studying the first two chapters in the book of Ruth. Lesson 21, and the story of Ruth took place during the time of Judges. Let's look at the first chapter here, beginning in verse 1. Charles, you want to read that for us? Just the first verse. Okay, so it was in the days when the judges ruled, and as we think about this particular story, it probably happened toward the first part of the judges, sometime during the, probably the first two judges, their Othniel or Ehud time frame, possibly. And we'll look at some of some of the writings that Bob did in his book, to kind of promote that thought anyway. We're not told particularly which judge was actually judging at that time, and we can only estimate time from what we have given at the end of the book. That's in Judges 4:20-21, and it says that Nahshon begat Salmon, Salmon begat Boaz, Boaz begat Obed, Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So that kind of gives a time frame when this actually took place, and also have Matthew's account from Abraham all the way down to King David. When Abraham, from Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, Jacob to Judah, and then his two sons, Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez begat Hezron, Hezron begat Ram, Ram begat Amminadab, Amminadab, Nahshon, and then the other ones that were mentioned over there earlier. And it gives the lineage all the way back to Abraham to King David then. Find the whole genealogy in the Matthew account. Estimated the period of Judges to be about, 350 years, thereabout. And so, beginning with Salmon and realizing that David was not born until after Saul was actually made king. See the period of time that might be time frame there. People were living about 100 years back then, not much over that during this particular time. You know, way back during Abraham and even back before him, they were living much, much longer period of time. Methuselah, 969 years, and those kind of things. Now, when did the change take place? After the flood. Very good. There are about four generations in this time frame of 350 years, and so some of these actually probably had to overlap a little bit to make up the 350 years. It was a peaceful time. Good indication of the time frame of the judges, a peaceful time in Israel. And as we look, let's go back over to Judges, the third chapter, and look at that. As we look at Judges 3 in verse 10 and 11, 10 is when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, talking about Othniel, and he was over, he delivered Cushan, Rishon, Thaim into his hand. And he prevailed, and the land had rest 40 years. So there's a period of time there that could have happened during that particular time when it was kind of peaceful. And as we look at Ehud, after he defeats Moab, you'd think that that might not work out there. But after that defeat, the land had rest for a much longer time, 80 years, wasn't it? I believe it was 80 years. Yeah, 30. At rest 40 years, verse 30. So there was a longer period of time during that time frame where there was peace. Whether the time frame works out for some of these men who were mentioned to be during those particular times, I don't know. You know, it's hard to know for sure. Bob seems to think that it was during Ehud's reign that this may have happened, but I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell. But it would have been during the early judges. After Othniel, there was 40 years of rest, Judges 3:11. You remember who Othniel defeated? I just said it. What was his name? What? All right, good. Very good. Cushion, Rish, and Tham. All right. Bob thinks it's kind of unlikely for this to have happened during the 18 years that Eglon actually reigned and oppressed Israel. And he also seemed to think that Elimelech chose to go to Moab during time of drought in Bethlehem. By the time the 80 years of peace followed, Boaz would have been quite old, is what Bob said in his book. However, that was a good peaceful time where Israel had subdued them at this particular time to me. Seemed like an opportune time for them to be going because they would not be oppressing them. Boaz was an older man. Thought about that? He was an older man. And so it could be possible, really. In this particular reading in Ruth, the third chapter in verse 10, where Boaz is speaking to Ruth, he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after the young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people in my town know that you are a virtuous woman." I mentioned my daughter a couple of times there, and I kind of brought that out to show you that he may have been an older person. How much older, I don't know. I have an indication, but anybody got a thought on that? I'm open for suggestions on that one, but what I found anyway. In the days of the judges, there's a famine in the land, and Elimelech moves to Moab. He lived in Bethlehem of Judah, and he moves his family to Moab because the famine was severe. His wife's name was Naomi. Sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Chilion, I'm not sure which way that's pronounced. But they move over there to the land of Moab. How was Moab connected here? Anyway, Moab was connected with Israel. Son of Lot, okay? All right, and how was Lot kin? Abraham's nephew, okay? Good. So, did you get that? Charles, you didn't get that. All right, Abraham, you remember when he moved to the land? He carried Lot with him, his nephew. And this Moab was one of Lot's sons, okay? And they ruled that land. You remember where? You remember where that land was? The land of Moab? Okay. Let me show you. Oh, okay. Good. Anyway, it was in this section right down here. Just to the east of the Dead Sea. Okay? Very good. All right. That's good. And I had it right here. But anyway, they left Bethlehem of Judah and moved over, crossed the Jordan River, and came down into the land of Moab, reached somewhere in that area right there. After staying for a while, trouble arose. Elimelech died, and it left Naomi and her sons. They're all alone. That would be be in a strange country with two sons. It's bad enough if you're in your real country and have just two sons left, and you've got to fend for them or take care of them. And she was in a strange land. But each of these sons married a Moabite woman, and Mahlon married Ruth, and Chilion married Orpha, found in chapter 4 and verse 10. They lived there for 10 years. So it would have fit into either time frame. After Ehud, there was plenty of time for that to happen. Or after Othniel, either one. period of peace during those, either of those times. Looks to me like it would fit. Now the problem came up that Mahlon and Chilion, or Chilion, both died. So that left Naomi all by herself in a strange land. But now she's got two daughters-in-law to live with her. And so Naomi heard that the land of Canaan had been blessed by God, and there was food available back there. And so she decides to return to her home country. And so she prepares to leave Moab, and her two daughters-in-law started out with her. And as they begin their travel, before we get into that, back in those days, when you married into a family, part of that family, and you stayed with that family, you lived with them. And I guess that's the reason we find, even back in Abraham's day, that he and his father and his brother and all those were all together, maybe. Thoughts on that? But anyway, I got that out of Bob's book. But it was the duty of the next brother to take over in case your brother died who had a wife, to take care of him, to take care of her, rather. And in this particular case, there wasn't anybody. There were no other sons of Naomi to take over for these two. And so the question came up, what to do? And he was to care for his brother's widow and take care of them and raise up seed to his brother was what was supposed to have happened. If your brother dies, you were to take his wife and raise up seed that would be his inheritance, basically. But Naomi didn't have any other sons. And if Naomi married again and had a son, these two women, Ruth and Orpha, would be so old that a young son, he wouldn't be able to take care of them. So Naomi could see that was not a viable thing. So as they began their journey back to Bethlehem, Naomi told them, said, "Why don't you just go back home? Stay with your mother. Go to your mother's home. Stay there. Because, it's not going to work out for you to come with me." And she told him, "Jehovah deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." Talking about her sons. How they have taken care of them while they were alive. How you took care of them. "Jehovah deal kindly with you. And may Jehovah grant you rest and peace, the days to come." Interesting thing to me was she told them to go back home to their gods, back to their home and to their gods. They would be worshipers of idols. Moab and Moabites were. Know that they worshiped which one way back? They all worshiped the Baal? I think they did. So she's more or less telling them to go back home to stay with their parents and worship their gods and that kind of thing. And so Naomi kissed them goodbye, and they all wept because they loved each other. And both of them at first said, "No, we're going to go with you. We're not going to leave you. We're going to go." But Naomi insisted that they go back to their home country. So Orpha kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, and she went back to her home and to start a new life, basically, there. And Naomi said to Ruth, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back. You need to go back and do the same. Go back to your home." And we see how Ruth's answer indicates just what kind of a lady or woman she was. And it's told to us in the first chapter, in verse 16. Brent, you want to read that for us? Yeah, and 17 too. Okay, this is a very famous statement used quite a bit in weddings. Changed a little bit, isn't it? It's a song. Yeah, that's right. And a lot of people use it in their weddings. It has some beautiful thoughts in it. I don't know if that was sung at mine or not, but anyway, that little family wedding. I wasn't that old. But anyway, that's a beautiful thought. And when in saying that, it gave an indication also what kind of person that Ruth really was. And Naomi realized that Ruth was determined that she was going to go with her, that stopped trying to get her to go back to her home country, basically. So they too made their way on back to Bethlehem. Town was aroused or excited or when they saw them returning to Bethlehem. It's been 10 years since anybody had seen Naomi, and of course the other ones were all gone. Elimelech and Malan and Chilion were all dead. So they gathered around and were saying, "Can this be Naomi?" You know, and hadn't seen her in several years, so they were asking the question. And Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi, because that means pleasant. That instead, you call me Mara. That means bitter." And the reason for that, the Almighty, she said, had made her life bitter. Scripture tells us that I went away full, the Lord has brought me back empty. Don't know that he really felt empty, but everything that centered around her was gone, that she felt close to. Ruth is going to fill that void as time goes by. She was sad because she had lost her husband, her sons, and it was not a particularly pleasant time for her. They arrived during the barley harvest, we're told, just at the beginning of the barley harvest. And so we know that the famine was over. The fields had been planted, and now it's time to harvest them. And it's a good time for them to make their way back, Moab, back over to Bethlehem. The Jews were told when they gathered their crops that they were to leave what actually fell out of their bundles or whatever when they were gleaning. And that was for the poor people who could come along and gather what scraps were left or scrapings off the ground, have enough to eat. We have people today who don't have enough to eat, but you don't see them doing that. They want handouts given to them a lot of times today. And those people would work for just enough to get by, to eat. Ruth went out to glean by chance or by the providence of God. Chose a field that actually belonged to Boaz. And we'll see how that comes to play. Boaz came out to greet the workers in the field one day, and he saw them gleaning. He saw a lady and wanted to know, and this, by the way, is them gleaning out in the fields. And you can see there's nothing hardly on the ground out here. There's just a few pieces of stubble with a little grain on the heads that would not be picked up, put into their bundles or sheaves. Those generally would be what these people would pick up. Just enough, you might say, to eat for the day or the next day. But Naomi's husband had a near kinsman whose name was Boaz, an influential man of property. He had a lot of property and wealth. And Ruth realized she would be the one who's going to have to take care of the household. She's going to have to go out and do the providing for both of them. Naomi was getting on up in years and would not be able to get out and glean in the fields and those kind of things. So Ruth actually asked her if she could go out into the fields to glean. And Naomi gave her permission. But this means that they go out and gather and pick up what was left after the maidens who worked for Boaz had already gathered the stuff, and then Ruth would come along behind them and pick up what was left, more or less. But Boaz was out there and he saw her, and he asked his overseer, basically the one who was in charge of the gathering the grain, said, Whose woman is this? I don't recognize who it is. And the worker replied that it's Ruth the Moabite who came back with Naomi. She asked if she could glean here and gave him permission for her to do that. And she has worked hard all day. She has from morning and basically evening or sunset at that particular time. That she rested a short time in the house. So there evidently was a house somewhere close by. Because the scripture tells us that she rested for a short time in the house. And I'm sure you may be younger than me, but I know if I was reaching all the way to the ground and gathering, you know, from sunrise to sunset, that had to be more than a little rest in the house for me. I'd have to probably 2 or 3 days rest just to get over it. But anyway, she rested a short time, we're told. In chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, let's look at those. Jimmy, you want to read that? Okay. Boaz is basically telling her, you stay here, I'm going to take care of you. And that evidently means a lot when you look at what he actually said. Go not to glean in another field. Okay, you stay here in this one, and abide here close by my maidens. They're the ones who's actually gathering some stuff, it sounds like, and stay in this field. He makes a statement right here. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? That indicate happens a lot of times. She's in a safe place right now, but had she gone other fields, it might not have been safe. It sounds like, I'm not positive on this, but it sounds like that the men would molest the women. That's what it sounds like to me. If you look closely at this, that very possibly is what happened. But he told his worker, do not touch her. You got a comment on that? Thought on it? Anybody? That's kind of what I get from it. That was a real possibility that happened. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And who are they going to tell? You know, doesn't matter if they do. So, yeah. Ruth, hearing this, fell on her knees, bowed down before Boaz, and said, why have you found favor? Why have I found favor in your sight? Boaz knew how she had been to Naomi, and that's what the scripture tells us, that he knew how she had taken care of her. So he knew that she was a foreigner, and that even though that be the case, she was here to help take care of Naomi. And he says, you are blessed for leaving your country, coming here to a people that you had never known. Yet you're fitting right in. You're trying to help out, and you're to be blessed. And that's what verse 20 tells us. Well, no, not 20. It's back up before that. 20 is when Naomi blesses her. May Jehovah reward you for your work, Boaz tells her. I hope you're pleased with me because you've encouraged me. You've spoken kindly to me. Really appreciated him doing what he did for her. Mealtime, he tells her, you go over to where my workers are eating and you take the bread and you dip it into the vinegar and oil or whatever it was there. And you eat with them. And he also gave her some parched grain to eat that particular time. She ate. And she was satisfied or had all she wanted. And she actually took some back home for Naomi. Chapter 2 and verse 18 tells us that she did that. That she had reserved, that she had taken what some reserve she had after he was sufficed, it says, part of that verse. So she was not only had enough to eat, but she had enough to take home to give to her mother-in-law. Very kind thing, what Boaz did for her. He instructed his men to let her glean up close. What do you mean by gleaning up close? Okay? Evidently, that's what the maidens were doing, was coming in behind maybe. And getting some of the dropping that fell, and not all of it, because they couldn't possibly get every sprig of it. But they evidently would follow in behind the sheaves. But he told, let her get up here with his maiden, basically, and let her glean this particular area. That way she would be able to gather more grain. Not only that, he told his workers, pull out some of the bundles, out of the bundles, and drop it for her. It was very nice, you know, very kind to her, realizing the situation she was in, that she was hiding for her and Naomi. Gleaned until sunset, and then we're told that she beat out the grain from the stalk. So evidently, what she gathered was still on the stalk itself, and have to beat the grains off of it so that she would just have grain to carry home. And it turned out to be, Bob has it rendered as 20 to 25 pounds of grain. That's a pretty good little bit of grain, if you think about it, from just gleaning. You know, if you think about the sheaves as they came up, I'm not sure if you'd get 25 pounds off of a whole sheave or not. You know, that would be several of those, I would expect. I don't know how big those bundles actually turned out to be, but I expect it would take several of those bundles to make that amount. Right. She worked a long day that day, and by beating out that grain, and she, whether she actually winnowed it or not, I don't know. It didn't say that, but she at least beat it out to get the grain. So there was, must have been some type of rock or something close to there, close by, to be able to do that. Because, like you say, that's not an easy task either. Very hard worker. That's right. And be commended. Carried it all home, and she showed it to Naomi. Naomi was impressed with the amount that she brought. I'm sure Naomi had an idea how much you would normally bring, and this was way more than what should have happened. So she asked her, where did you glean? You know, Naomi knew it was more than she should have had. And man's name was Boaz, that on the field I gleaned in. He said, may he be blessed of Jehovah. And he told me not to go anywhere else to glean, but Ruth told Naomi, you know, very nice, and told her all about the things that he had said, and told her not to go anywhere else. He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi, fly about Boaz. This man is one who has a right to redeem. Okay? What do we mean by redeem? Okay? So he could actually redeem, and what he would be obtaining would be the land that was actually, would have been Elimelech. Is that right? I think that's right. And in that process, he not only would get the land for an inheritance for the family, but also Ruth as a wife. If you go to someone else's field, you might have been harmed, kind of what was indicated. Ruth worked through the barley harvest and the wheat harvest while she lived there with. And the rest of the story, and I knew this was going to be short because it's just a short chapter, and yet it's a beautiful story. It's got the love and compassion of a Christian, like a Christian should have for others. So many times, in-laws, either mother and father-in-law or whatever, don't get along with their son or daughter-in-law, and that's sad, you know. While we're here, it can be a beautiful time. And, we need to ensure that happens. And it's tough sometimes. I understand there. Tough situation to be in. But we encourage your students as you teach them to show this kind of compassion for others as they grow up and as you're teaching them to get this across to them. This is a good story along that line. Get across.
Not a major point, I also didn't set up a
one today. Made the statement that she was a virtuous woman. That's a beautiful thing to say about a lady.
And a lady. Right.
Yeah, that she did not go after young men and that kind of thing after she came back. And as we look at Boaz's ancestors, think about Rahab, it, the same situation basically. I mean, he believed in God. She knew what God had done for the Israelites. She marries Salmon and have they confessed who the true God was. Both of them did.
And
right. Okay. All right. Thank you for your comments.